So how's everyone doing this morning? How's everyone doing this morning? Oh, wow. Can you believe tomorrow is August 1st already? Is summer going too fast? All the teachers said, way too fast, right? Okay. And all the parents said, maybe not fast enough, okay? Get those kids back into school. Let's get this thing going, okay? Well, I want to welcome you this morning. I want to thank you for being here on a beautiful, the last day of July. And we're just so thankful that you're here. This past Friday, those who participated in the 40-day prayer challenge, we actually reached the apex of our journey, okay? Let's show the next slide. This is what it looked like in our house. Heather said, Michael, did you read today? And I said, well, not yet. But anyway, so we reached the apex of our journey. We're done reading the books. And for many people, the end of the journey was met with mixed emotions. They were happy that they started something or they finished something that they started. And then there were a lot of people that were kind of sad because, wow, the readings were so inspirational, faith-filled. They really challenged me to pray and were kind of sad that the journey's over. I've actually had several people either through a text or vocally tell me that tomorrow, Monday, they're going to restart the journey again. And I said, absolutely not. You can't do that. No, I didn't say that. I said, yeah, let's do it again. And some people said this time they're going to buy a journal and they're going to journal what God's speaking to their heart. And I was just highly, highly challenged, excited about the book, thankful for the book. So what we've been doing every week in our services is we've been touching on one of the readings that we read the previous week. I've been kind of expounding on maybe a thought or two or going to the Bible and see what the scripture had to say about the teaching. And today what I want to do is I want to go to day 39. And if you read day 39, you know exactly where I'm going because I think it was probably one of the most exciting readings in the book. I mean, I was jacked about it. And the reading was called Holy Ground. Holy Ground. So what I want to do today, I know this is kind of dangerous to do in a sermon. What I want to do is I want to go directly to the book, and I'll do that because I realize that not all of you have a book, and we're going to go to day 39. And what I want to do today is I want to read a story that Mark shared in the book this week, in this chapter. And the reason why I want to read this story is because I think it's worth rereading. So can we do this morning? Let's pray and ask God to help us on our journey, give us ears to hear, a heart to receive. So Father, we come before your greatness this morning. And Father, we're just thankful for each one that's here today. We thank you for this journey of prayer that we've been on as a church. Lord, many people have talked about how it's increased their desire to pray. And to that I say, wow, that's great. And Father, I just pray, God, that you will be in these remaining moments of this service this morning, that you would come, Holy Spirit, and that you will be present in these moments speaking to our hearts. And I just pray right now, Lord, that there'll be God moments in this place, that people will be able to hear something that will meet them right where they're living today. And Lord, your words would challenge them to draw closer to you. So we thank you for our time together, and we ask your blessing upon it. We ask that you would receive all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you read day 39, I know that you know where we're heading here, but not everyone had the opportunity, and I think it's worth rereading. Mark writes this on day 39. He said, a few years ago, please hear, this is a phenomenal story. A few years ago, I heard author Ken Gobb share one of the most amazing prayer testimonies I've ever heard. He said him and his family were driving on I-75 near Dayton, Ohio. Let's hear it for Dayton, Ohio. Woo-hoo, okay. When they decided to stop at a restaurant. Ken's wife and children went right into the restaurant while he stretched his legs. As he walked past a nearby gas station, he heard a payphone ringing. The phone kept ringing, and Ken thought it might be some sort of emergency, so he answered the phone. He heard the voice of an operator who said, long distance for Ken Gobb. Come on now. Ken almost passed out. He said, you got to be kidding me. I was just walking in the middle of nowhere and heard this phone ringing. The confused operator says, is this Ken? The confused operator said, is Ken Gobb there? and making sure there weren't any candy cameras around, he said, "This is Ken Gobb." A voice on the other side of the line said, "Mr. Gobb, my name is Millie, and I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You don't know me, but I need your help." She went on to explain that she had written a suicide note, but had decided to give prayer one more shot. She said, "God, I really don't want to do this." And as she prayed, she remembered seeing Ken Gobb on television. So she thought to herself, "If I could just talk to him, he could help me." But this was pre-Google days, making it extremely difficult to track him down. As she prayed, some numbers popped into her head, and she wrote them on a piece of paper. She couldn't help but think, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if God were giving me Ken's phone number?" Then Millie said, "I decided to try calling the number, and I couldn't believe it when the operator said it was you." Millie asked Ken, "Are you in your office?" When Ken said no, Millie sounded surprised. She said, "Then where are you?" Ken said, "You made the call, don't you know?" She said, "I don't even know what area I'm calling. I just dialed the number on a piece of paper." Ken said, "You won't believe this. I'm in a phone booth in Dayton, Ohio." Millie replied, "What are you doing there?" Ken said, "Answering the payphone." Ken went on to draw this conclusion: "I walked away from the phone booth with an electrifying sense of our Heavenly Father's concern for each and every one of his children." What were the astronomical odds of this happening? With all the millions of phones and innumerable combination of numbers, only an all-knowing God could have caused this woman to dial that number in that phone booth at that moment in time. When Ken hung up the phone, he walked over to the restaurant. He sat down with his family, still stunned. He said to his wife, Barb, "You won't believe this. God knows where I am." I did have somebody this week when I said, "Wasn't that an amazing story?" The person said, "Well, if it's true." I said, "I don't have any reason to believe it's not true." Amen? No reason to believe it's not true. So I'm reading day 39. I'm sitting at my dining or our kitchen table. And as I'm reading this day 39, I'm just becoming overwhelmed. I mean, this struck me with such power. It just became so overwhelming. And I was overwhelmed with this unshakable belief, this unshakable conviction came upon me. And the conviction is this, that nothing is impossible with God. Can I say that again? Nothing is impossible with God. If he can cause a phone to ring in a gas station in Dayton, Ohio, to a woman who never met him, didn't know his number, God can do anything. So throughout the day, this story kept on just replaying in my mind throughout the day. And these are the words that kept coming to my mind. These three words, they're on the screen. This kept coming to my mind all throughout the day Thursday. God can do anything. God can do anything. Can we say that together, everyone? God can do anything. I mean, just think about that. I don't want to jump ahead this morning, but I want you to begin to think to yourself, what are the things I'm going through today? What are the mountaintops, maybe some valleys? What are the things that are challenging in my life? What are the things that are keeping me up at night? What are the issues in my life? And just say that one more time together. God can do anything. So what I did on Thursday at the end of my day, I'm kind of a busybody. I like to be outside until the sun goes down every day. So finally, when the sun went down, my favorite hour of the day is basically from about 9:15 to 10:15. And what I like to do is I like to come in, take a shower, and then I like to come in and I like to get a treat. How many people like to snack? So all those calories you burned off all day, they're gone. And I don't care. That's why I've been busy. I want to eat what I want to eat, okay? So what I like to do is I like to come in, take my shower, get my snack, and then what I like to do is I like to go to my area of the house. How many people have their area of the house? Okay? By the way, somebody said the other day they were talking about these tiny houses where people are living in about 100 square feet. And some guy that had been married for about 30 years said, that will never work because my wife needs her spot and I need my spot. Well, that's the way it is in our house. Heather has her spot. I have my spot. And that's where I like to go at the end of the day. And I want to be totally honest with you. Many times I'll watch either the news, I'll watch sports, I'll watch whatever, just to kind of wind down at the end of the day. But on Thursday, it was a little different. And I don't want to sound over spiritual, but this is what happened, is I grabbed my Bible because I wanted some supporting scriptures about the fact that God could do anything. So what I did is I went to my Bible, I went to the concordance, and I began to look up certain words. And I went on this journey looking for scriptures throughout the Bible talking about how God can do anything. And it was kind of weird because Heather was in her room. Nolan had guests downstairs. I'm upstairs having a church service. I was getting pretty pumped, okay? Almost speaking in tongues. I mean, it was that good, okay? But anyway, I began to write down these verses. And what I want to do today is I want to share just three discoveries of verses in the Bible, stories in the Bible. We're going to go very, very quickly. And we're going to look at scriptures that talk about the fact that God can do anything. And here's my motivation this morning. This is why I want to do this. Because I want these stories to stimulate faith in you to a degree that you're willing to pray big, bold, audacious, faith-filled prayers, believing God that when I pray, that you can do absolutely anything. Amen? Absolutely anything. By the way, how many people were here last week? Don't raise your hand, but last week what we did is we gave you a card. And on the card, it said, list three prayer requests, things that you're praying for, and you're going to continue to pray for until you see God answer your prayer. Okay? You remember that. So I wrote down three things that I was praying for. And what happened is later in the day after lunch, Heather and I went on a walk. And I asked Heather, what did you write on your card? Nosy, nosy, nosy. And she started to tell me, do you really want to hear? I said, oh no, am I still in the picture here, okay? But anyway, she began to share stories. And she began to say, you won't believe what's on my card. And I said, yeah, just tell me what it is. And she told me one of her requests, because at the end of the service, we had a meditation time. We had a song playing. And she felt like God laid something on her heart to pray about. When she told me what it was, I said, sweetie, God can't do that. No, I didn't. I just wanted to see what you would say. But it was so big, it was so amazing that I thought, Lord, I got to reprint my card. Because on my card, I just had kind of, I would call them like elementary things. She was going for the PhD, okay? She was going all the way. And I love that. I love that faith to hear from God. And saying, God, I believe that you can do anything. I love that about my wife. You can do anything, God. Why not pray for it? Amen? So what I want to do in our service here this morning, this is my primary goal, not to be fancy, but to say this. I want you to leave here today believing in your heart that no matter what you may be going through, you, your family, your spouse, your kids, your workplace, believing that, you know what, God, yes, it's not ideal. It's far from heaven. But God, I believe I can pray about it because here's the truth. God, you can do anything. God, if you can cause a phone to ring in a phone booth at a gas station in Dayton, Ohio, God, you can do anything in my life. Amen? So I want faith to rise in us today. I want faith to rise in us to believe that God can do anything. So let's look at three stops real quick. Don't go there. They'll be on the screen to save time. First stop is Genesis 18. Genesis 18, we read verse 1, that the Lord God, the creator of heaven, appeared to a man named Abraham as he was sitting at the entrance of his tent. It was a very hot, sultry day, so he got out of the tent. He was sitting at the entry of a tent, and the Lord God appeared to him with this message. By the way, the context here is Abraham is 100 years old. His wife is 90 years old. And up to this point, they were barren. They were unable to have children. So they were very frustrated. And here's what God said to Abraham, verse 10. God spoke to Abraham, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Then in verse 11, it continues, Sarah was listening to this conversation from inside the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself, and she said, and I love this, I laughed every time I read this this week, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure? I thought that was, I'm sorry, I'm twisted. How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? By the way, ladies, did you see how she addressed her husband? I'm just saying. We hear that a lot around our house. My master. So get on board. Get on board, ladies. Let's go. Next verse. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Did you catch it? It was a rhetorical question, meaning it's a question that's not expecting an answer. The Lord asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Would anyone like to step out on a limb and answer that question? The answer to the question is obviously what? Everybody said, no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. He can make people who are beyond childbearing years, he can cause it so that they can have babies. By the way, does this strike fear in anyone? Lord, please, not us. Please, not us. But anyway, how many people, I want to say it again, God can do anything. I just want you to not speak that out loud, but begin to speak it in your spirit. I like self-talk. God can do anything. Our second stop is the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is this prophet of God. He's the weeping prophet. Here's the word of the Lord speaks. It doesn't get well received. Chapter 32. There's two verses that state the fact that God can do anything. The first one is found in verse 17 of chapter 32. And the context here is Jeremiah is praying a prayer to the Lord. And in the very first line of the prayer, let's read it together. It says, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and your powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. If you're comfortable doing this morning, please repeat this with faith in your heart. Nothing is too hard for God. Everybody, nothing is too hard for God. Well, wait a minute, God. Do you know what's going on? Do you realize what's going on in my life? Nothing is too hard for God. God, do you know about my children? Nothing is too hard for God. Do you know about my battle with sickness? Nothing is too hard for God. The second is found in the opening line. Now God's going to give a message to Jeremiah to speak to the people. Verse 27. God says this, I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Think about that, 7 billion people today. God is the peoples, he's the God of all the people of the world. Everybody read this together. Is anything too hard for me? Another rhetorical question. God reminding us. He's reminding Sarah. He's reminding Abraham. He's reminding Jeremiah. I don't care what's going on in the surroundings of the landscape of our culture, what's going on in your life. Nothing is too hard for me. Okay? So whatever it is you're facing today, I have some words of encouragement. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. Third and final stop. It's a very familiar story that we read at Christmas each and every year, almost every year. It comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1. Some of you already know where we're going. It's just, in this story, we're introduced to a young teenage girl named Mary. She's engaged to be married to a man named, everybody, Joseph. And it's during this period of their engagement that Mary is visited by an angel. The angel's name is Gabriel. And the angel comes with a message that was like none other. And the angel comes with this message, says, Mary, you're pregnant. And not only are you pregnant, but the baby to be born to you will be called Jesus, the Son of God. Okay? Then if you go down to verse 34, we see how Mary responds to this angelic visit. Mary says, how can this be? For I am a virgin. That's a very reasonable, logical, biological question. How can this be? I'm a virgin. The angel answers, here's the text. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, on top of that, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called one time barren. And then everybody read this together with me. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. I love these verses that the Lord shared with me through his word, because in these verses, there's this reoccurring message for you, for me. The reoccurring message is that God can do absolutely anything. He can do absolutely anything for a man named Sarah and his wife, or a man named Abraham and his wife Sarah. He can do absolutely anything for a prophet named Jeremiah. He could do absolutely anything for Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah. He can do absolutely anything for a lady named Millie living in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But here's the news that I want you to get in your spirit, in your heart today, and that is that God can also do absolutely anything for you. For me, yes, for you. That there's nothing too hard for him. He can do anything for anyone. And my thought is this, as we close this series on prayer, is this, that if God can do anything, how many people know that should be the incentive that we can pray about anything? That there's nothing out of bounds. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. But the fact is since God can do anything, we can pray these bold, huge, faith-filled prayers, believing that God can do anything. That's what Heather's believing. She wrote it on her card. I'm starting to believe it. I'm starting to believe it not because of who we are, who she is. I'm starting to believe it because of who he is. Amen? Amen. I told you last week I have a nephew. His name is Jonathan. And Jonathan has a son named Vander. Vander's only about 3 years old, but he has a rapid growth. I don't know if it's a disease, sickness, where for a three-year-old, he's getting really bigger than a three-year-old should be. He's already starting to get facial hair, those type of things. He's on a rapid pace. His body, he's just like this little man-child. And it used to be really cute when he was a kid. We'd like, wow, look at him. But now they've discovered that there's a problem there. And one of the things they're finding out that it's the possibility is that he has a tumor. And I'm not a doctor, so please excuse my ignorance in this area. But it's on the pituitary gland. There's this tumor that has developed that's causing these issues. Why he's growing so fast. So last week I said, why don't we pray about that as a church? And this is really sad. I hate to admit it. But last night I was on my comfortable couch and Heather texted me from her room. How many people say sad marriage, sad marriage? And basically say, and it wasn't say, come in here, I don't want to get up, you don't want to get up, who's going to win the fight? But anyway, it was basically something that Jonathan's mother posted on Facebook. Let me read it. Our family has a praise report. The doctor told us that Vander's tumor was cancerous on Thursday. We have an army of people praying. This morning, the doctor called, which I would assume was yesterday, Saturday, and told us that it's a miracle. The spine fluid is clear. No cancer, no biopsy, no chemo. Is it possible that God can do anything? Is it possible that we can come before our great God? The scripture says that heaven is his throne. This earth that we live on is his footstool. Is it possible that this almighty, creative, powerful God can do absolutely anything? And not only for people who are in ministry, way beyond that. We need your help a lot, but for everyone, God can do anything. He can restore broken marriages. He can bring wayward children home. He can cause phones to ring in a phone booth at a gas station in Dayton, Ohio. God can do anything. And as we leave this journey on prayer, I want us to be people who are bold. I want us to be people who are not arrogant, but we come with pride. We come, we come with humility. And we say, God, I believe that you can do anything in my life. In my life. In my life. God, you can do it. And that's what we're believing for. See, the Bible actually teaches there's two types of prayer. There's a private prayer when you go into your secret closet and you shut the door. It's talked about in Matthew chapter 6, and you shut the door and you pray to your Father in secret. We should be doing that all the time. But there's also a second type of prayer that's called corporate prayer, where you come together with your church family, with other believers, and you pray together like they did in the book of Acts. They prayed together and God did amazing things. And why do I bring that up? Because we as a church are wanting to take a step of faith. And our step of faith that we want to take right now is we want to believe God for a children's pastor, somebody to come and work with our kids, somebody at a level that we've never had before. See, the board is reading the book, so they're starting to believe that God can do anything. Isn't that great? So what we're going to begin to believe for is, God, bring that person our way to be a part of our church family. And I think it's important that we pray corporately for these things. So can we bow our heads this morning? Can we believe God together? Amen? So I want to encourage you. You can talk out loud. You can pray out loud. But I want you to join us right now for prayer. Father, we just come before you this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for who you are, that you can do anything, as you told these great patriarchs of the Bible. And Father, we just come before you and we believe that you will bring the right person to fit this church for such a time as this. And God, we're believing for that young man, that young lady, whoever it may be. Lord, we're asking, God, for your help. We're asking for your favor. We're asking for your direction, that you would order our steps and their steps to come together. And God, that there will be a meeting of paths. And God, that you'll help this church take that next step, so that we can go forward and effectively minister to kids on Sunday morning. So, Lord, we pray for your help in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I do want to conclude with one thought as we end this journey. I think it's on the last slide. Can we go to the last slide? This is a statement that Mark has brought up in the book a handful of times. The purpose of prayer is not to get what we want. The goal of prayer is to discern what God wants, what God wills. We're not approaching a Santa Claus in the sky. We're not approaching a genie in a bottle. We're approaching the Creator, who is all-knowing, all-wise, who knows what's best. He sees the big picture. He sees the start, the finish, and everything in between. So we don't come saying, God, this is what I want. This is what I want. I can't tell you how many times I'm so thankful God didn't give me what I want prayers. Because I guarantee you I wouldn't be sitting here this morning. The goal of prayer is that we come and we sit before God and we discern, God, what is it that you want? You're God. You're the Creator. I'm the creation. What do you want? What do you will? But in that context, we pray believing that, God, you can do anything. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too big. God, you can do anything. Amen? So can we just bow our heads this morning as we close this morning? Father, we just thank you, Father, that we can come to your throne. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're seated at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercession on our behalf so that we can come boldly into the presence of God. And Lord, we just lift up these things that we're praying for. May we not shrink back in disbelief. But Lord, may we go forward with a great spirit of belief, with faith, knowing that regardless of what our circumstances are today on July 31st, regardless of what we see with our eyes, hear with our ears, God, regardless of all those things, we believe that you can do anything, that there's absolutely nothing that's too hard for you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,